The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org.
Coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie and author Randy Alcorn discuss where to find happiness.
There's so many people who are looking for happiness, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Go to God and His Word and the pleasures of what it means to follow Him, and that'll bring happiness to your life.
Yeah, you know, I think of people just scrolling through their phones constantly, you know, and you're reading social media or whatever, reading news feeds, and there's so many things that can bring you down. Don't look down so much, look up.
This is the day.
Those of us who were around when computers first became popular remember the promises. Oh, they'll make our lives easier. You'll have so much less stress, so much more free time. Yeah, that worked out well, didn't it? Most people have a handheld computer in their pocket or purse that controls every minute of their life. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie speaks with a colleague and friend who helps us look beyond our gadgets to the joy we find in our God.
We're going to have sort of a biblical conversation with someone though I think is very special, very gifted individual. His name is Randy Alcorn. He's been here before. Randy is a rare combination of a theologian and a fiction writer. He's the author of over 50 books. And I think his classic, there's many classics, but the one that he's best known for probably is his book on heaven, a large volume. That I think is just an outstanding book that answers so many of the questions that people have about the afterlife. Another one he wrote on the issues of human suffering is called If God Is Good. He's also written The Treasure Principle. Here's a little book he just did, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Heaven. Does God Want Us to Be Happy? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Giving is the Good Life. This is a good one. I like this. My granddaughter was reading it, Heaven for Kids. And here's this newest book. And I have to admit, I was a little offended by the title of this book, Randy Alcorn, Why Did I Ever Agree to Let Greg Laurie Interview Me? What? Randy, come out here and explain this if you could. Let's welcome Randy Alcorn. Your newest book, Randy.
This is a question I have asked myself many times.
And we've done quite a few of these interviews over the years, and someone just on my social media commented and said how much one of our conversations had helped her, because we deal with real life issues that people are facing right now and things that people have a lot of questions about. But I just thought I'd just sort of dive in with this question. Why is it important for a Christian to give thanks to God?
I think God is our creator. God is the God of providence and our sustainer, the one who gives us every breath, the one who keeps our heart beating and all the things that go on in our bodies that we don't even think about until maybe something goes wrong. And He's the one who created the heavens and the earth, and He's the one who will create the new heavens and the new earth where we'll live forever. If you think about it, how much do we have to be thankful for? Even though we live in life under the curse, one day He's going to reverse the curse. We're going to be delivered from all that is bad. He'll wipe away the tears from every eye. We can take our gratitude for the eternity that lies before us and front load it into our lives now today. And God, I'm grateful I'm alive today, and I'm grateful for what You have for me today, even in the midst of suffering. Because You are who You are, and You have called me and gifted me, and You have a purpose for me, and You can use me today in the lives of other people. And we have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah, we really do. And that's right. So when a Christian dies, We go immediately into the presence of the Lord in heaven, but then one day heaven will come to earth. We even hear Jesus addressing it in what we call the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But it's hard for us to wrap our minds around heaven. Maybe our minds have been distorted by sort of the Hollywood version of heaven, what we've seen in movies, what we've seen in paintings and other things. And it seems like this, I don't know, for some it might seem like, oh man, heaven is going to be like a really long church service. You know, kind of a lot of singing and it's going to be boring, but nothing could be further from the truth, right? So tell us a little bit about what we can expect when we get to heaven.
Well, the greatest thing about heaven is who we will be with, and that's Jesus. To be with Jesus, to be with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. Yeah. You know, they had a happiness in them before the world was made. I love that promise of Jesus where he says, and the words to Jesus, to the servant who has come into his presence, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness." And I love the idea of being with him forever and him being the source of all happiness. There's so many people who are looking for happiness, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Yeah. And it can be found ultimately only and fully in God, not in the circumstances of our lives and how well our lives are going, because sometimes our lives don't go very well, do they? But he is there, and he is always our cause for rejoicing. So that's the most important thing about heaven. Secondarily is just the fact that God is going to raise us from the dead, that this life, we don't pass our peaks in this life because our peaks won't be experienced until the resurrection, and we'll never pass that peak. So forever we will worship and enjoy his presence. He'll wipe away the tears from every eye. No more death, no more suffering, no more pain, and forever we will celebrate with him the glories of his presence and the wonder of reunion with each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, can you beat that? No, you just can't.
Exactly right. Okay, so here's some like practical questions. I hear these a lot. Well, my granddaughter, Allie, you wrote this book, Heaven for Kids. She actually asked me, "Will we wear clothes in heaven?"
Well, we do know that people in heaven are depicted as wearing robes. Yeah. And lots of times people say, "Oh, so does that mean that we'll all wear robes?" Well, I don't think that's what it means, because robes is what they wore. When they came to the nice dinner, you know, they'd wear their white robes, the clean robes. And so I think, I mean, on the new earth, in our resurrection bodies, will some people wear jeans or dresses, you know, pants? Where will people wear shirts, blouses, whatever? We may very well wear the kinds of things we wore in our culture that we grew up in and lived in. But the fascinating thing about that will be there are the people of God throughout the ages who have lived in different cultures, dressed differently. And I love it when Scripture talks about people of every tribe and nation and language. And it doesn't say that there are people in heaven who used to be of every tribe, nation, and language, but who are present tense of every tribe, nation, and language.
Well, and that's really, you're bringing up some interesting points now. You're showing how this is tangible, it's real. We think of it in an unreal way. Like you're talking about different fashions or styles of dress, and then how in heaven works, you know, your ethnicity or what country you came from, you're still you. Because sometimes I think people think when you get to heaven, you're not even you anymore. You're like we're a new creation in Christ, but we're still us. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, he said to his disciples, "It is I, not another." It was still Jesus bearing the marks of the crucifixion in his resurrection body. And Scripture says that our new bodies will be like his body. So we're going to eat food because Christ ate food after the resurrection. We're going to recognize one another because Christ recognized his own disciples after the resurrection. There's a lot of practical things here that people sometimes don't understand.
Exactly. I was just looking at Job 19, where Job talks about, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'll see him, and he'll be on this earth. And he says, "I will see him with my own eyes." Yes. And then he says, I and not another.
That's right.
And that's explicitly saying what you were talking about, Greg, that we will still be us. And Jesus was still Jesus. And some people say, well, they didn't recognize Jesus because, well, Mary didn't recognize Jesus. And wait a minute. This was the tomb. It was early in the morning. It was still darkish. And she thought he was the gardener. But as soon as he speaks, she immediately recognizes his voice. So it was not a case of her not recognizing him. On the Emmaus Road, some people say, well, yeah, they couldn't even recognize Jesus. And it actually says they were kept from recognizing him.
Right.
And then he reveals himself, and they know, of course, that this is really Jesus. So, yeah, all those are myths that we have. Sometimes people say, once we get to heaven, we'll know everything. At last, we'll know everything. No, only God knows everything. We'll always be finite. And Ephesians 2:7 says, in the ages to come, God will be revealing us continuously the wonders of his kindness and his grace. We'll learn.
Pastor Greg Laurie and author Randy Alcorn will have more of this presentation in just a moment.
Listeners are finding faith in Christ by hearing these studies and reading God's Word, even in the most unlikely of places. This listener contacted us last Thanksgiving.
Pastor Greg, thank you for guiding me through the Bible. Your notes in the New Believer's Bible really helped me understand what I needed to understand. I was born to a religious family and even spent a year in seminary before eventually walking away from God. I spent more than 25 years away from Him. I'm currently serving a prison sentence in the state of Minnesota. While I was in county jail, I picked up a copy of your Bible. Between your study helps and a fantastic jail ministry team, my study of the Bible brought me back to belief. This morning, Thanksgiving Day, I caught a new beginning on the local radio station, and I really enjoyed listening to your sermon. On what could be a very depressing and lonely Thanksgiving Day, I have so much to thank God for. This is the first Thanksgiving in which I can honestly look into myself and count all my blessings. I won't be defined by my past, but I will let God transform me into a new person. Thank you, and God bless.
If your life has changed through Pastor Greg's teaching, would you let us know? And when you get in touch, ask about our New Believer's Bible. Just drop Greg an email at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg has invited author and Bible scholar Randy Alcorn onto the program today to talk about some of the practical issues revolving around this life and the next. Let's listen.
So how should our belief in the afterlife affect us in this life? I believe there's a heaven. I believe I will go to heaven. I believe I could be in heaven sooner than I expected to be. It could be through death. It could be through the Lord coming back for his church and being caught up to meet him. How should that affect me in day-to-day living and things I think and decisions I make?
Well, one of the things that we're told in 2 Peter 3 is that we're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. That same context says, what sort of people, therefore, are we to be in terms of life and godliness? We are to live lives of purity. When we see him, we'll see him as he is, and those who are going to see him as he is purify themselves even as he is pure. It changes the way we live now because we want to be the spotless bride of Christ. Yeah. We want to please him and honor him because of who we will be forever in his presence. So why would we try to find pleasure in things that dishonor our Lord, who is the source of pleasure? Not only is that wrong, but it's also stupid because we will never find fulfillment in the things that God has not wired us to find fulfillment in. So if it's contrary to Jesus, it's not good for us.
Yeah. So the theme of our talk today is heaven, happiness, and hope. Let's transition to the topic of happiness. It seems to me if we have a proper biblical understanding of what heaven is and all that's awaiting us there, we should be happy. And after all, don't we follow a happy God? I bring that up because I think some people sort of view God as, I don't know, perpetually angry, austere, harsh. do we follow a God who we could describe as happy?
Absolutely. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6, he is called the happy God. There's two passages that refer to him as a happy God. But because it's the English word blessed, which actually used to mean, you go to old English dictionaries, and the first meaning of blessed is happy. It used to mean happy, but to us now, it sounds like more like holy. So it sounds like he's saying the holy God, but it's really saying the happy God. Wow. Jesus Christ himself is called in Hebrews 1, it says, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond all your companions. In other words, Jesus Christ is the happiest person, human being, who has ever lived. And that's actually what that passage says, beyond your companions, which would be the whole human race that he became part of. And I think sometimes we just think of Jesus as only the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as we're told in Isaiah 53, and 52 and 53. But the thing was that that passage is talking about his atoning work for us, his suffering on the cross. So was he miserable in Gethsemane and miserable on the cross? And you would say, yes, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But that's not how he was every hour of every day of his life. The great majority of the time, he was this person full of happiness, full of joy. I was reading earlier today in John 15, where he talks about, I have said these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We are to derive our joy from his joy.
Wow. So what are things that contribute to happiness and what are things that deplete happiness?
Well, I think certainly the things that deplete happiness are the things that are in violation of the way God has designed the universe to operate. His best for our life, every time we violate us, it is sure to bring unhappiness. Every time we follow what God says, it brings happiness. When you have Psalm 1, which starts with those with the word blessed, happy. Happy are those who do not listen to the counsel of the wicked, but who delight in the law of God, in the word of God. So if you want happiness, go to God's counsel. Seek his thought. Seek his mind. But when you go to the world, and Greg and I were talking earlier about Twitter and what a nightmare it can be sometimes. There's some good things there, but, you know, there's a lot of just rudeness and hostility and pride and arrogance and critical spirit. If you're going there, if you're going to the political world to get your, if that's your source of where you spend your time, you are going to be a miserable person and people are not going to be drawn to Christ through you. Go to God and his word and the delights and the pleasures of what it means to follow him, and that'll bring happiness to your life.
Yeah, you know, I think of people just scrolling through their phones constantly, you know, and you're reading tweets or you're looking at social media or whatever, you're reading news feeds, and there's so many things that can bring you down. It's like, don't look down so much, look up. You know, look up to God, look up to the imminent return of Jesus, look to the word of God, and look to the needs of others. You know, studies have revealed, you know this, Randy, you've talked about this in your books, but studies have revealed that when you focus on helping others, it actually improves your life, your outlook in general. I read about one survey that was done, and probably was from your book, of 4,500 American adults, which revealed that those who volunteered an average of 100 hours a year, of them, 68% reported they were physically healthier, 73% said it lowered their stress levels, and 89% said it improved their sense of well-being.
Right.
So, you know, now it seems like medical science is catching up with what the Bible has said all along, because what did Jesus say? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Exactly. And that word blessed there is that word Makarios, which means it is more happy making to give than to receive. And this is so interesting. If you look at Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and some of the secular people that don't know the Lord, and hear them talk about what they have discovered about the joy of giving and just the giddiness, the happiness that they have experienced just by God's common grace, even as unbelievers, in doing what they're wired to do. If you are, well think of the word miser. Well, what word comes from the word miser? Miserable. So then think of Scrooge, how unhappy he was when he was just accumulating all this wealth and hanging on to it and using it only for himself. And then what happens in the transformation in A Christmas Carol, Dickens classic? What happens is Scrooge now becomes what? A new person. It's like regeneration. It's as if he's been born again. And what is he doing now instead of being the miser who holds on to everything and is therefore miserable? He becomes the giver. And as he gives, Dickens observes, he became the happiest man in all of London. Why? Because when you give, you're happy. So don't wait to think, oh, well, if I become happy about it someday, I'll start giving. No, do the giving and that will make you happy. Do the action that accords with happiness and then you will become happy.
Very good.
Some great encouragement today from Pastor Greg Laurie and his special guest, author Randy Alcorn. And there's more to come in this discussion here on A New Beginning. We hope you'll keep listening. The title of this discussion is Heaven, Happiness, and Hope. And if you'd like to hear a replay of today's presentation, just go online to harvest.org. You can stream the program while you're online or download an MP3 for later. Play it for a friend or for your spouse. To order a CD copy, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, some people have considered themselves Christians for a long time, but they've wrestled with reading the Bible in a way that they can really understand. Mm-hmm. I can remember being a new Christian and getting lost in all the begats, you know, or getting lost in Leviticus and all of the details about the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
But the Bible is meant to be understood and, more than that, meant to be applied in our lives. And your new resource really helps people get there from here, doesn't it?
Yes, that's true. You know, when I'm talking to a new believer and I'm encouraging them to read the Bible, I always encourage them to start with the Gospel of John. Now, you might say, well, shouldn't they start with Genesis? Well, they could, and many do. But like you said, you get to the book of Leviticus, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, basically, you, among other things, have the teaching of Scripture and animal sacrifices and things that really were pointing to the fulfillment that would come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is concealed in the Old Testament and he's revealed in the New Testament. And so when you start with Genesis, it's all the Word of God. But if you're a new believer, I think it's better to start with the Gospel of John in particular. And I think that gospel is the best one because it was written really, as John himself said, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is a son of God. So I would encourage a new believer to start with the Gospel of John, read through to the end of the New Testament, and then go back to Genesis and read through the Old Testament, and they'll understand how it all sort of pieces together. Well, I know it's perplexing for new believers because they've never read the Bible before. And it isn't always the easiest book to understand if you don't know what's happening. And that's why it's helpful to have someone sort of guide you a little bit and point you to certain scriptures. And so I've done that in this brand new resource that we're offering called the New Believer's Bible. Now, don't let that title mislead you. It's not only for new believers. It's really for all believers. But it's especially good for someone that's brand new in the faith to help them to build a good spiritual foundation. But basically what I do is as you open it up, it is filled with what we call tracts. And these are tracts that you go through. I'm looking through it right now. It begins with the section on how to know God. So there's a presentation of the gospel. And then we have new believers' reading track, things that they need to know more about. There's a reading track on forgiveness, honesty and integrity, having courage during trials, your marriage, parenting, job performance, choices you make in life, so much more. And then there's another reading track that takes you through what we call the cornerstones of the Christian life, the foundational things you need to know about as a follower of Jesus Christ, and much, much more. The great stories of the Bible, passages from the Bible you need to memorize. It's just chock full of powerful truth, and it's in a very easy to understand way. Also, this is the New Living Translation, which is very readable, much more in everyday English than maybe the King James Version is, or even the New King James Version, though I have a great affection for both of those. This is a great translation for a new believer. This is a great resource for any believer, and we want to offer it to all of our friends and listeners out there. It's just, well, kind of hot off the presses. It's called the New Believer's Bible, not just the New Testament. This is the whole Bible, and we're offering it to folks right now for their gift of any size. And we want to encourage those who respond to give as much as you can, because when you give, you enable us to reach more people with the message of the gospel and with the teaching of the Word of God. And wait, there's one other thing I would add, like in those commercials, but wait, there's more. Could you say that like in a commercial way, Dave? But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, perfect. It's so much better when you do it. Yeah, okay, right. So say it one more time.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, friends, there is more. It's a Start to Follow companion resource that comes along with the New Believer's Bible. And this is a course that you can go through that will help you even more. And it's filled with a lot of great truths. Think of this as a spiritual life hack. Something that's going to help you dig deeper and grow stronger in your walk with Christ. So get your copy of the New Believer's Bible and the Start to Follow course.
Yeah, that's right. And we're eager to send both of these resources your way as soon as possible. We're sending them to say thank you for your investment in these daily studies. And thanks for investing in the work of evangelism through our Harvest Crusades, the next one coming up just weeks from now in Boise, Idaho. With your investment right now, we want to thank you with Pastor Greg's just released, or maybe I should say re-released and expanded, New Believer's Bible. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300, or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg and author Randy Alcorn bring us more full-strength biblical encouragement about the hope to be found in a close relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Join us here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.